Wait a minute, wait a turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it though. I hope you got in tune. He talking bigger business, he make a lot of moves.
I'm your host Scott Catoon and welcome to Technori Live on WGN Radio, where Chicago's top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. Hyphenated name. Sitting next to me here is Michelle Micah Vanderstyff. Did I get this right?
Absolutely.
I got this right.
Yes.
And then the easy one, Jackie Vols.
You got it.
Jackie Vols, you are the, let's see, we got this right. You are the founder and CEO of TunnelView?
Correct.
Correct. And Michelle, you are BizStrat, correct?
President and CEO of BizStrat.
President and CEO of BizStrat Technology. I have you guys on the show because I think one of the common problems that every business, and I would say startups because that's who traditionally is listening to a lot of our content, and they have this problem as well, obviously, that they want to build expansive and crazy things, but they also are a lean team and they don't know how to build things that are not in their exact technical expertise, though they have a tight budget, so usually they end up just trying to like stretch it out. Where I actually see this becoming the biggest problem is in the SMB market, where you've got companies that do generate plenty of money and could afford technically to build whatever solution they're trying to, but what happens is a several hundred thousand dollar build cost budget turns into almost a million when they get through five iterations and they've nearly crashed the business trying to build this one thing. And then they get crazy ideas of how we could sell this product that we've created in addition. And it just gets, it spins out of control in a hurry. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity to learn both about both of your businesses, but also learn how, and maybe Jackie, you can sort of help the world understand this. How does a small business build and grow and stay ahead of the technical curve, but also not bankrupt themselves doing it? So I think maybe the best place to start with us is going to be having you talk a little bit about TunnelView, just what it is, how it works, and then maybe some of the things you were trying to accomplish before we get into what BizStrat Technology does and how the union came to be.
Sure. Well, it is about finding the right partner, right? Because I had a concept for a new shopping experience about bringing ladies together online for a live online shopping experience, a live event where they can shop together and pull from artisans. And when you have an idea and you think it's a great idea, you think everyone around you is going to think it's a great idea. Yep. So I started working and looking for partners to help build this. And honestly, I found that there wasn't a lot of support for a brand new concept. And you got to think back 6-7 years ago, you know, before Facebook Live events were as prevalent as they are today. 6-7 years ago, when I would talk to investors, potential investors, about bringing ladies together to shop at an online event, they're all like, well, they really want to, they can just click a button and go right, you know, make a purchase. Why would they want to talk about it? So luckily, you know, was able to find Michelle and BizStrat that shared the same vision and was able to help.
Shockingly, 50 and 60 year old white balding men and investors don't understand how other people shop.
And that's exactly what happened to
it's
me.
The craziest
office
thing.
After office after office, it was, well, are you sure someone's going to want to talk about what they're buying online? I'm like, yes, I am.
Every
you
day
right?
You go home and your daughters and mothers and wives ask and want to tell you about what they shopped and where they shopped and why, and you just walked right on by. That's all that went.
Actually, that was the inspiration, was watching my kids online and watching how they were connecting with friends online. And I thought, you know, this is the next generation of shoppers.
Yeah.
And they're socializing online and playing games with their friends online instead of seeing each other in person. And of course, you have home parties like Tupperware. And I thought the two will come together.
Yeah.
And, you know, to find that right partner to see that vision and help put it together.
Well, enter Michelle and BizStrat. So how, I guess, before we get into the whole conversation, Michelle, why don't you give us kind of a rundown on what BizStrat Technologies does?
Well, BizStrat Technology actually focuses on business challenges, both innovatively and strategically. And so what we do is we talk to a company about their business, and that's not real common for a technology company because they're building the technology. Yeah. So we actually, when we met Jackie, it's an interesting story because we heard what she did and we're like, well, we do web and we do e-commerce and we do video, and she needed to combine a whole bunch of new concepts, chatting, chat rooms, all around an e-commerce store, all inside a website, and deliver the ability for other curators across the country to do the same without technical expertise. And so that was really exciting to us, and we could really see the potential. And we wanted to help bring, obviously, as a female you know, startup entrepreneur CEO in the tech space. I'm kind of a rare bird.
Yeah.
It's a lot of white men in technology.
And balding, and so, I've found.
Well, you don't
I'm not
say
being
those
critical.
Things.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. It's just been an observation. That I'm I'll put it out there.
I mean, you know, there's an old adage is you can help other people, you know, come up and bring their businesses to life and make their dreams come to life. And hers is a real success story. And it was exciting on a technology level. So, you know, when we heard some of the money that they wanted to put in, they wanted to spend, you know, $250,000 just to do market research before they even started to build, you know, get the domain name. Yeah. And to us that it was just wrong.
Because, you know, if we don't do it, you can't guarantee the work. You know?
Right. Exactly right. And so, of course, as a startup, she didn't have the capital to put in $250,000 before she built it.
Yeah.
You know, so and so we were happy to collaborate with them and help the dream come true. And we've done it for other companies as well and cutting edge technology.
You know, I think it's kind of funny you mention this because I have found that in the last, since say 2013, when I really entered the space of working with companies and on the tech side as well as the business side, that was a huge gap. And it's great that the Chicago community and tech community has grown so vastly. But the downside of it is it has been that there's sort of this, you know, for lack of a better term, a hitman for hire when it comes to building technology, where they're incentivized, the tech companies are incentivized to build product for you regardless of its success. They don't care. Like, you asked for this thing built on Ruby, and so I built it right for you, and I don't really care whether it's going to impact your business. Obviously, I want it to work because I want you to come back, but
there's
no real business strategy. Like, they're not incentivized to say to you, you don't need this.
Right. And a new concept is really important. It's interesting that you say that, is that you've got kind of a framework people build things in, right? And one of the things our framework is that our framework is flexible. And with a new idea, you have to be flexible, because after you get through the first month and she sees it come to life, she's going to be like, well, that's okay, but it wasn't exactly the way I wanted. I wanted that to be pink, not purple.
Yeah.
And I wanted that to go there, not here. And so by building that in the front end,
she's watching. This go
I
through
like to push the envelope. Yeah. I have
She's
to
like, I remember that email.
Yes.
Or well, that meeting.
It wasn't that trivial, right?
Yeah.
But the idea is that we could see it could go three, four, five different directions, right? And because we planned for that up front, it didn't kill her budget-wise, right? So we would advise her. We'd say, look, if you did this, this is what's going to happen, two, three, four, consequence.
Yeah.
And she'd be like, oh, I don't really want that to happen.
Yeah.
We're like, well, and so then we would pull it back a little bit, and we would build it, and, you know, we got the best possible, and it didn't look anything like when she started. I mean, some of it did, but I would say a good 25%,
still,
Jackie,
still
was different.
Evolving.
Yeah.
Still evolving.
And
every good business
that
always
business
still
does.
Evolving.
Absolutely.
It's, so, like, that's, you know, Michelle, you bring up kind of an interesting point on this, that, like, when it comes to dealing with startups, this has been sort of the knock, and it's put some tech companies, some tech development companies in the ground. I mean, if you don't understand that startup companies are going to need more white gloves when it comes to, like, time involved and development and reiteration and so on, sometimes more than large companies, because the large companies have an infrastructure in place to be able to tell you, like, well, it has to fit this model or it doesn't work. So, like, you kind of have, like, you can charge them more money, obviously. But how as a business have you been able to, you said you planned for it, but, like, how do you mitigate the fact that when you're dealing with a startup or somebody who's early stage, they not only do they have a shoestring budget, but they themselves sometimes don't know what they need and want. Like, how do you build a successful company on that?
Right. Yeah. Well, we actually cherry pick our projects.
Yeah.
And we also have a network of valued partners that plug into projects, you know, for marketing or cloud.
Yeah.
But the other thing that we do is, you know, in cases like Jackie, where she had something under patent and we saw it and we believed it was worthwhile, we actually contribute our own time and money to the project as well. So it's almost like a private kind of crowdfund, right? And where we said, okay, we literally put together a collaboration agreement and we said, for marketing and other things, we're going to put 50% of the development dollars in the first 6 months into this project, because we had a stake in it too, because we build innovative solutions. So in fact, we were a collaboration nominee for Chicago Innovations the year before last.
Oh, so, very cool.
Yeah. So, so we did that as well. And because it was that new a concept, and, you know, maybe slightly before its time, but it's certainly taken hold. I mean, she can tell you the growth.
Yeah. So, like, let's start talking about, so, like, you've been able to build this, and now, like, what was it? What's the process like when you finally get the go to public platform, and walk us through, like, how the growth has gone?
So, you know, it's funny when you have something in your head, you think it's going to be just like that. Yeah. So in working with Michelle, I learned that a lot of things that I had in my head weren't, you know, we had to compromise a little bit.
Sure.
And technology continues to evolve. But it took a year. What I thought, gee, why can't we do this in a month? Obviously, you learn it. It takes a year. It took almost a year to build it. Well, first to find the right partner, yep, and then to build it. And then even to launch it, we had to pivot a couple times because the initial concept was more of a multi-level marketing concept. It was taking that Tupperware idea and putting that online in a live format. And I realized, you know what, with technology today, you don't really need to do that. So I had to pivot. So instead of an MLM, turned it into every e-curator can have their own online store. And within their online store, so it's password protected, so they can invite their friends to their store within the TuttleView platform. And then within that, they can post their products, their personal images. They pull from a broad range of products that we have, and over 1,000 items. They can pull the products that they want to feature. Plus, within that, they can have a live event and do a live shopping event at the same time. So it's pivoted quite a bit. And yeah. I think it continues. It continues to evolve as I learned more and more about how she wants to run her events,
sure,
and what the consumers are interested in talking about.
How does that challenge, like, for you? Like, you hand off this, yeah, piece to them, and you see as iterations come back, like, are you thinking ahead, like, I'm going to have to re-engage her on this and this and this, because we know, like, we knew when we built this that, right, this was like phase 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. So it's funny because as she's talking, yeah, about this going live, you know, the holiday shopping season was a key target for us. And so we pretty much had an October 1st drop dead date. And in the last 45 days, we had to revisit a few things and we had to say, look, you know, let's look at this list and we have to cherry pick and, yeah, pick what's important. And then after the holiday in January, February, we'll come back and let's use it as test market. Let's see if people really care about it. Because there were some things with a new concept. We weren't sure if it would take hold.
Yeah.
So we strategically looked at that list and we said, look, what's most important? Getting the products out there, selling the products, and hitting the holiday. Because that's a huge sales online opportunity.
That was, to me, like, I deal with this now at a different angle. When I was working with smaller business companies, and I don't, it's not to say, like, I'm not even referring to you as a small business as much as it's just, I feel like there's, yeah, this, like, tech startup angle, which you totally are, and then there's sort of this small business, we're not trying to scale this into, like, a global empire, we're trying to build a rock-solid company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The startups that we would meet with now tend to have this perfectionist mentality, and we want this all to be perfect because someone sees it, they'll never come back. And that's like the, right, line that you hear 1,000 times. You're like, well, if you have a good product tomorrow, they'll come back tomorrow and just not today. But small businesses were always the most difficult in this because they literally have been trained since, you know, however old they were, they've been trained since the beginning of time that your customer, you never show them a bad version of yourself. And I feel like now people are starting to finally get it that, like, there are, within your main goal, there are multiple sub-objectives.
Right.
Right now, we need to make sure we make this much revenue by capitalizing on this seasonal cycle. And then our next goal is to make sure that customers have an amazing loyalty rewards and sort of, you know, experience, which they will get as a result of shopping with us when we were lean.
Right.
And then down the road, it becomes, well, now we have a real loyal customer base, and so we have to work really, really hard to keep them.
Right.
And it's in phases. And I think a lot of small businesses and startups think, like, if I don't have the whole thing built now.
You know, you're absolutely right, because I did start that way, and I thought, oh my gosh, if we don't go out looking like we're this big, yeah, company, will we be able to build the audience? And I learned the exact opposite, yeah, is true, because, and people will grow with you. And it's been really fun to see how they will grow and they will follow and become better advocates because they were part of the journey with you.
I actually know a company that, I will not say their name because this was strategic and it wasn't positioned that way, that ran an equity crowdfunding campaign based on an exceptional idea.
Right.
But they knew that what they wanted to build was going to be very expensive. And so they're going to raise, I think, $500,000 on equity crowdfunding. So what they did was, they actually published the biggest heaping pile of SHIT that you've ever, right, seen, yeah, in your life on purpose.
Right.
Like, they, like, purposely built the biggest heap of garbage ever and pushed it out and said, like, we love all your feedback. This is so great. And what ended up happening is they funded $500,000 equity crowdfunding campaign on people's feedback into their own website, and then the people paid for the website they wanted.
It absolutely ended up being a blessing in disguise, I have to tell you, that all of the knocks on the door to the, what were you calling them? The
heaping bald, pieces or what?
Balded,
the bald guys, yeah. They want their money now. Now they want in.
Right. It actually ended up being a blessing in disguise because doing it this way, I learned along the way, and I think had we invested all that money up front,
probably would have burned through a whole bunch of it and it would have looked bad.
A lot of money would have gone the wrong way.
This is contrary to everyone's belief in the startup culture. It is better to not raise money unless you absolutely have to. The only reason to do it is either, you know, take a loan if you can to like cover losses. Don't give up.
It sounds more sexy to be able to get that.
Of course
loan,
it does, because you want to be able to say, like, you can't say I took a loan out and so my valuation, you know, it's an up round.
Like, it's interesting because not only Jackie's build, but we face it internally. You know, we started a software line a few years ago, and I have my R&D people saying, look, it can't be perfect. Let's get it out there. And the reason they're saying that is because until it's out there, it doesn't get any exposure whatsoever.
No.
And the other thing that happens is once it gets out there and people like the pieces that work well, they actually give pressure to actually get that next release out.
Yep.
And then you can get partners, you know, like the Googles and those people to participate in it. And we've got actually a couple that are rolling out first part of next year that are in exactly that state. We're trying to get the most important pieces working great.
Yep.
And then we're going to get the audiences to drive the pressure.
Well, you get echo chamber feedback when you keep it internally and keep trying to perfect it. It's like you say that because you saw what this was supposed to be and now you're upset. Like you have to put something out there and have people who use it literally be like, this sucks.
And it will always be different how the customer uses it than how you envision it will be built. And I think Jackie is true, and I've seen it in all kinds of software. You roll it out and you think they're going to use it a certain way, and they blow you away by doing something you never could have tested for.
Absolutely.
And so it's super important to get it in front of the actual customer.
Very cool. This has been very fascinating, a great kind of opportunity to learn and see how a startup company can find their way through this, especially if they're non-technical, because I think a lot of times they're either they go overseas and they get another heap of garbage sent back to them, or they think they have no choice but to like pay a bunch of money, they raise a bunch of capital, and they burn their entire network before the company's off the ground.
Right.
And there's obviously opportunities out there. So before we exit the show here, if you could, Jackie, give us a little rundown on where people can go to use the company and to use the platform, and where they can go to leave you feedback so you can go back to Michelle and make it even better. And then also, Michelle, of course, plug away your business as well.
Sure. So the site is tuttleview.com, TUTTLEview.com. And right now, we're always welcome to having new e-curators that want to open their stores, always. Please check it out. And if you actually, even if you want to make a purchase for the holiday season, you can use Friend20, get a 20% discount on the purchase. But honestly, just more e-curators and e-hostesses, and to really understand the experience and shopping with friends online is what we're all about.
I think that's very fascinating. I hope people check it out. Friends20 is the promo. I think we have another guest actually this week. It's coming on that is in the same sort of like shopping online, change the way that you interact when you shop online. So very cool space. Michelle, tell us a little bit more about how we can get in touch with you.
Yeah, bizstrattech.com. So bizstrattech with two T's in between, Trat and Tech, because they both deserve their own T. And you can check out what we do there, and you can email us at tellusmore@bizstrattech.com.
Very cool. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you, Scott.
I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
You can catch this episode of More at TechNori.com, download the podcast on iTunes, and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at TechNori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.